So we're going to begin today on the last line of Daf Lamed Amud Beis. And today's Daf is Lamed Aleph. And this first Agadita is about the Midah of Anova, about humility. Tana Rabbanan Li'olam Yehei Adam Anvenasan Kehillel. A person should always be humble like Hillel. Hillel is the paradigm of the Midah, the attribute of humility. V'al yehei kapdan kishamai. And Shammai was someone who was very harsh, very demanding. He represents Midas Hadin. And the Gemara is going to tell a number of stories about Hillel and Shammai. Maise b'shnei b'nei Adam. So we're starting now in Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Shehimru zed zed. They actually were what we call mesachikim bekubia, which means they were betting people. Amru, they said between the two of them, kol mishe yelech v'yaknit es hillel yitol arba meos zuzi. In other words, each one put down 400 zuz, which is a massive amount of money, on the table. And they said, which of the two of us would be willing to try to get Hillel angry? And the person who gets Hillel angry will take the pot. He'll get the 800 zuz. Omar Echelen, so one of the two volunteered for the job. Aniak Nitenu, I know how to get him angry. Also, Ayomer of Shabbos Hoya, Vehil Chofaf es Rosho. It was a Friday and Hill was shampooing his hair, probably was in the shower. Halach, this person, v'yavar al Pesach beso, he passes the opening of Hillel's house. Almighty declares, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Who is this Hillel? Now keep in mind, Rabbi Osai, Hillel was the Nasi. You don't speak about Hillel like Mikan Hillel. Who's this Joe named Hillel? Nisatev, Hillel puts on his cloak, v'yotza l'krosso, and he goes out. Omer, and he says to him, Bini, he speaks to him in such a soft tone, my son, ma ta mevakish, can I help you with something? Omer lo, she'eli yeshli lishol, I have a question to ask. Now this story is going to repeat itself with the same players, the same individual over and over again. And he's always going to ask about some deformity, some physical deformity of a that's common or characteristic of a particular nation. Sheila yeshli lishol amalo sha'al b'ni sha'al mipnei mara she'em shel bavliim skalgalos. Why is it that the heads of the Babylonians are shaped in a funny way? They have a certain oblong shape to them. Amar lo bini. Hillel responds, my son, Sheila Gdola Shalta, that's a brilliant question, very profound. My Rebbe used to tell us about his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker, that anyone who asked a question, no matter how dumb the question was, Reb Chaim used to make him feel, oh, that's a brilliant question. Mipnei she'ein lahem chayos pikchos. He says that the chayos, these are the doulas, you know, the women who are, they play the roles as midwives, they were not very smart. And as a result, they were not careful to make sure that the baby, when the head would come out, it would come out in the right normal way. And sometimes it came out in a way that that would cause a deformity of the head. And the Marsha, throughout this entire Gemara, has a whole symbolic explanation of what's going on here below the surface. Halach v'himtin sha'achas. So the individual goes back, waits an hour. Again, the word shah in the Talmud doesn't mean one full hour or 60 minutes. Sha'achas means a while. You know, he waits a while. Chaza v'yomar again. Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hill. Who is this fellow named Hillel? Nisate fiyotza lekroso. Omalo bini mata mevakesh. Omalo she'ela yeshli lishol. Omalo Omar lo sha'al b'ni sha'al. So again, the same exact exchange. And here's his second question, again about some sort of a deformity. He says, "Neimar einem shel tarmidoyin trutos." Rashi says, "There's a nation called the tarmidoyin." These were famous in the Gemara for those who supplied logs for the fire. If you remember back on Daf Chaf Aleph, and apparently their eyes were particularly round. Amalo, so he'll respond to Bini, Sheila Gedol Shalti, you asked a great question. Mipnei Shedorim Bein Hacholos. They live in a sandy terrain. Now here, it seems that Hillel wanted to indicate that the nature of man biologically is not always reflective of some sort of mistake, some error, like for example in the case of the midwives when they were giving, helping the women give birth, but it also could be a natural God-given gift to protect them. So therefore, those who dwell in this area, which is sort of a desert kind of area, they need to be able to close their eyes in order that sand should not go into their eyes. There's a lot of sand going, blowing. And once again, this instigator, who's trying to get Hillel angry, is going to ask another question about a certain deformity. The Africans have wide feet. Amalo, b'ni she'ela gedola sha'altam, b'nei shedarim b'en bitze mayim. They live in the wet marshlands. And as a result, God gave them wider feet, so that their feet would not sink into the wet earth. And this is all part of the divine plan, so that man would survive in the areas that he lived. Omalo. So at this point, it seems that the individual who's trying to get Hillel angry is really frustrated. He says, "She'elos harbe yesh li lishol. I have many questions to badger you with, but misyari ani shematichos, I'm afraid that you'll get angry with me." Nis'ate fi yoshav lefonov omalo. Hillel wrapped himself up again in his cloak, and he said to him, "Kol she'elos she'yesh lecha lishol sha'al. I have all the time in the world." Imagine the Nasi Yisrael. "I have all the time. Just sit and ask me, fire your questions." Omalo. So he said to Hillel, "Atu Hillel, Shekorin Oscha Nasi Yisrael. Are you the one that that is the Nasi of the Jewish people?" In other words, he again tries to irritate Hillel by saying, "I don't know who you are," so to speak. Amalo Hain, that's me. Amalo Imatahu, if you are indeed Hillel, Lo Yirbu Kemoscha b'Yisrael, there shouldn't be too many like you. Amalo, Hill said to him, "B'ni mipnei ma, why are you saying such a thing, that there shouldn't be amongst the Jewish people like me?" Amalo, "Because mipnei shibadati al yodecha arba meos zuz. Because of you, I lost 400 zuz." In truth, he really lost 800 zuz. What it means is he could have gained, not only did he lose 400 zuz, he could have gained another 400 zuz. Amalo, so Hill responded, "Evizoye beruchacha. You should be careful about your disposition." Why? Kedayu Hillel. It's Kedai, it's a good thing that there are people like Hillel. He speaks about himself in third person. Sheta'abed al yodo, that you should lose dalid mil zuz v'dalid mil zuz, the 400 zuz that you put down, and the 400 zuz that your friend put down that you could have won. But the bottom line is, Hillel lo yakpid. Hillel never was angry at him. This is a first round of an indication of the humility of Hillel. Now we go on to the next round. Tanu Rabbanan, this is one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. Two stories about a ger, a potential ger. Maisa b'nochri echad shabolif nei shamai. So this non-Jew comes in front of Shabbai and he asks him, Omer lo kama toros yesh lechem, Omer lo shtayim. We have two toros, Torah shebichtav and Torah shebal peh. Omer lo. So the non-Jew said to him, shebichtav ani mamincha. In other words, I believe that the Torah that's written, the written Torah, was given by God. But shebal peh, ani mamincha. I don't believe in the oral Torah. But Gairuni, convert me, al menashe talamdeni Torah shebichtav. In other words, I'm willing to learn the written Torah. Let me convert to Judaism, accept me as a ger. Garbo votzio benizifa. And Shammai was angry at him, and he threw him out with a nizifa. Nizifa is when you sort of say something very disparaging and you insult a person, you put him into nizifa. You know, you're like chutz l'machne. Balif nei Hillel, he doesn't give up, and he sets the same conditions for his geiris to Hillel. Geire, and Hillel converted him. So there's a whole long discussion here in the poskim about whether Hillel in fact converted him, because the halacha is that you only accept a convert if he's willing to accept the entire Torah from beginning to end. And if someone is interested in converting, but on the condition that he doesn't accept the whole Torah, and here he doesn't want to accept the fundamental belief in Torah Shebal Peh, how could Hillel have possibly converted him? That's against the halacha. So some say that Hillel only started the process of conversion. He didn't actually convert him. He wanted to see if during the course of learning, right, every potential convert has to learn, perhaps he would be able to convince this non-Jew that he should accept the belief in Torah Shebal Peh. So what did Hillel do? Yoma Kama Amalei, he starts teaching him the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Lemachar, the next day, Apichle. He turns it around. And Hillel tells him that the first letter of the alphabet is a Dalet, the second one is a Gimel, the third is a Beis, the fourth is an Aleph. So the convert said to Hillel, yesterday you told me just the opposite. So Hillel responded, Lav alei deka samchis. Apparently, if you think that what I taught you yesterday is correct, then you were relying on me. Dalpe nami smokalai. If you rely on me to teach you the Torah, then rely on me that the oral law is true. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us the end of the story, but the impression you get is that at the end he accepted Torah Shebal Peh and he became a full-fledged ger. Okay. The next Gemara is easily the most famous Agadot in all of Shas. Shuv Maisa b'nochri echad shebolif nei Shammai. Non-Jew comes for Gerus to Shammai. Omelo, he says to Shammai, Gaireni al menashe talamdeni, kol haTorah kula kshani omed al regel achas. Teach me the Torah while I'm standing on one foot. In other words, can you reduce the Torah to one basic principle? And teach me that one basic principle. And what was Shammai's response? Dochafo, he pushed him away. The amas habinyan shebiyodo. Amas is a some sort of a stick And binyan is for the purpose of building. So they had some sort of a stick that they used in the building and construction. And he used that stick to push him away. He literally threw him out. And perhaps this gesture was a way of conveying to him that just like a building could not stand on one single piece of wood, you need strong foundations. So the Torah too has to be built on strong foundations. And I can't give you all the foundations of the Torah when you're standing on one foot. Balifnei Hil Gire. And Hillel was willing to convert him. Amalo. So Hill says, you want to know all the Torah on one foot? The Olecha Sani Lechavrcha Lo Ta'avit. Zohi kolatar kula vidach perusha zil gemar. So if you translate this gemara literally, he says to him, that which is despicable in your eyes, if somebody would do it to you, then don't do it to your friend. However, Rashi here offers another possibility, and Rashi says that the word reacha is Rea Vichal Tazo, based on a pasuk in Mishlei. Reacha means your good friend in heaven. That's a symbolic allusion to God in heaven. And don't do anything despicable in the eyes of God. Al Tavar Al Dvarav. Don't violate the will of God. Sharei Olecha Sonui Sheyavar Chaver Chal Dvarecha. Just like you don't appreciate it when others violate your will, don't violate the will of God. And that is the basic underlying principle of the entire Torah. Everything else, you know, you want to know now what is the will of God, now you have to go out and study the Torah. And that's all basically fleshing out this abstract principle that don't violate the will of God. Shuv Maisa ben Nochri Echad. Another story about a guy. He was passing the children who were learning Torah in the study hall. V'shama kol sofer shaya omer, and he heard the voice of the teacher who was teaching them parshas Tetzaveh v'ele abgadim asher yasu choshen v'efod. And these were the various garments that were created for the Kohen Gadol. Omar, so the non-Jew comes into the classroom. And he asks the children, "Halalu lemi, these beautiful garments, who are they for?" Amru lo, they told him, the Kohen Gadol. These are the garments that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, would wear. Amar oso nochli atzmo, so he thinks to himself, "Eilech vesgayer, I'll go ahead and convert. Bishvil she yisimuni Kohen Gadol. I want to be like the Kohen Gadol. I want to be the high priest." Little did he know that even a Jew cannot become the high priest unless he's a Kohen. Bolifnei Shammai. Amale, he says to Shammai, Gairuni al Menashe tisimeni Kohen Gadol. So convert me, and I will be appointed as the Kohen Gadol. Once again, like as we saw in the previous case, of the guy who wanted to be converted while he was standing on what teaching me the Torah on the one foot, Dochafo bi'amas habinyan shebiyodo. And basically he was telling him that the foundations of a building have to be very strong. And just to find, you know, to establish your Judaism based on the fact that you want to be the Kohen Gadol, that's not a strong foundation. Bol if they hill the gire. And Hill was Megayer. Omar lo. Hill said to him, and hear the Mefarshim say that this took place before the actual Geirus. He said to him, do you admit that you don't appoint someone as the commander-in-chief unless he knows something about Malchus? You know, he knows what it means to be a king. Maybe he knows what it means to initiate some sort of military campaign. Lech lemo taksisei Malchus. In other words, if you want to become a Kohen Gadol, we can never appoint you as a Kohen Gadol unless you learn what it means, what are the responsibilities that are incumbent upon a Kohen Gadol. Halach v'kara. So the non-Jew went and he learned the Torah. Kevan shehigia, he got to a pasuk.
Hazar HaKarev Yumas, someone who's not a Kohen Gadol, if he does the Avoda, he will die. And it means that a Zar who does the Avoda and he's not kosher as a Kohen, so the punishment if he takes over the Avoda is death. And he starts asking, Omar Lay, he turns to Hillel, Mikra Zel Minemar, who is this pasuk referring to? Amar lo, afilu al David melech b'Yisrael, even the king of Israel, King David, since he's not a Kohen, if he would violate this law, he'd be chayv misa. Not misa's bezdin, but misa midei shamayim. Nasa osa ger kal v'chom v'yatzmo, the ger all of a sudden becomes very, very smart. And he says, umay Yisrael shenikru bonim l'makom, the Jewish people are considered the children of Israel, of God. God says about his people that they are like the firstborn, that's the love, and nevertheless, iksiv aleihem, if they're not born Kohanim. Hazar HaKarev Yumas, that he who is a stranger, he's not the Kohen, if he does the Avod, he'll be put to death, is Ger. And what about a convert? Hakal. I mean, he doesn't have the yuchsin. He's not a natural born Jew. Shebov emaklo tarmilo. That's a way of saying humility. He comes with his travel bag, his staff. Is alachas kam v'kama. How much more so if he does the avoda, which is designated exclusively for the kohen? Then he'll suffer a capital punishment. I don't mean capital punishment in Beis Din, but so now the Kohen, this non-Jew is a little bit angry. He feels a little bit insulted. Why? Bolus Nei Shammai goes back to Shammai Omer alone. He says to Shammai, Klum Roy Ani Lios Kohen Gadol. Like, why didn't you tell me when I came to you and I said, convert me on condition that I will be the Kohen Gadol? Why didn't you tell me, Alo Ksiv Batorah Azor HaKarev Yumas? You knew this law, and yet you didn't share it with me. You know, it's a little bit, you know, not fair. Balifnei Hillel, and he comes in front of Hillel, Omar lo, and he says to Hillel just the opposite. You were willing to sit down and teach me. Is an v'nosan, it's because of your humility, Hillel, your nuchulcha brachos al roshech, let all the blessings rest upon your head. Shekrav tani, because you brought me close. Tachas kanfei ashchina. Now that's the phrase we use for a ger. He's nichtas l'tanfei ashchina, and it seems that this ger actually became a full-fledged Jew. And it's all because of the humility and the patience of Hillel. Liyamim, at some later point, Nizdavgu Shloshtam L'makom Echad. All these three Gerim, in the three statements, came together in one place. Amru, and they all unanimously declared, Kabdonuso Shel Shammai, because Shammai is a Kabdon. Kabdon means somebody who's not willing to be flexible, to be mevater. Bikshol Tardeni Min Olam was a force that would prevent me from entering into the world, probably the world to come. But on Venuso Shel Hillel, but the humility of Hillel, Kervanu Tachas Kanfei Ashchina is what brought us to become Jewish and to convert. Now, the next Gemara that we're about to learn is also an Agadata, and this Agadata is based on one single Pasuk. The Pasuk is a very complicated Pasuk, and it appears in Yeshayahu HaNavi. And we'll just first give a little bit of background of what Yeshayahu HaNavi is talking about. We're going to have two different approaches to this pasuk in the Agadata. But the simple pshat in the pasuk is that Yirmiyahu is giving a very good prophecy, very positive. This was at the time of Melech Ashur Sancheriv, who was threatening to destroy the Jewish people. And Yishayahu says that they will be protected by God, and the Jewish people experience a period of Shalom v'Shalva. And if they want it to be long-lasting, they should acquire knowledge of God, fear of God. And the fear of God will be like a storehouse for them. Let's see the pasuk inside. Amrei Shlokesh Maidichsiv, what does it mean? Ve'haya emunas itecha chosen yeshuos chochmas vadas. And the pasuk speaks about the stability of your time, meaning now you're experiencing a time of tranquility, even though your enemies want to destroy you, the strength of salvation, wisdom and knowledge, and then at the end of the pasuk it says the fear of God is his storehouse. So we'll try to understand this. So in the first approach, Reish Lakish says that there are six different words here in this pasuk that guarantee the stability and the strength of Klal Yisrael, and these six correspond to the six Sidrei Mishnah, which in mnemonic device is called Zman Nokat. So Emunas Ze Seder Zroim. In the agricultural world, the farmer plants a seed and it rots, and yet it grows beautifully, and this inspires him to great faith in God. So that's called Emuna, that's Zroim. Itecha, which means times, Zeh Seder Moed, that represents the second of the six Sdarim, Sidrei Mishnah, as we have them. Originally, by the way, there were many Sidrei Mishnah, but we only have six. And that's the concept of Moed, of Kedushas Hazman. And then we get to Chosen, which means strength. And that's Seder Noshim, because the women are the strength of the family unit. And all of Noshim is about marriage and family. Yeshuos, which we said is salvation, Zeh Seder Nezikin. This is not clear exactly the relationship between Yeshuos and Seder Nezikin. Some say that the Iker of Nezikin is not to sue someone for damages, but to make sure that you don't cause anyone else any loss, any damage. And that's a Yeshua for you. That's going to be a salvation because you're extremely careful not to cause anyone any sort of loss. Chochmas Zeh Seder Kodshim. Vadas Zeh Seder Taros. There are two levels of wisdom. The most profound level is called Das. Because you start with Chachma, and those are abstract concepts, and Das means when you're able to apply that knowledge and compare cases with analogies and so forth and so on. Kodshim is considered the first stage in wisdom. That's why in many places the custom is that they start children off with Sefer Vayikra to study Kodshim. Now, Kodshim is very abstract and very analytic. It demands a tremendous amount of wisdom. Very rigorous. And Das is even more challenging, and that's Seder Taros. And the laws of Taros end with Masechta Nida, which I was told is up there with Erevin and Menachos and Yevamos as the most difficult of all the Masechtas. However, the Pasuk in Yishayahu finishes by telling us that Yiras Hashem hi otso, afilu achim, meaning even after you get all these levels of wisdom and you study and you master the six Sidrei Mishnah, but nevertheless you have to know that what comes in comes out. And if you want to remember your Torah, you want to put it locked up in a storehouse, then you need Yiras Hashem. So the key of keys is the fear of God. Amar Rava. Rava has a new interpretation of this pasuk in Yeshaya, also going through the six categories. B'shoshem achnisim adam ledin, when a person after 120 years is brought in front of the heavenly tribunal, omrim lo, they ask him six different questions. Number one, the first question is going to be Emuna, right? That was the first of the six words that were described here in the passage in Yeshaya. Is number one, Nasata v'nasata v'nasasa v'nasata b'emuna. And that means were you honest in your business transactions? Kavata itim la Torah. Again, the second word was itim. Did you set aside fixed times for the study of Torah? Next, it says chosen, which we said was nashim, is asakta b'piri v'rivya. Did you try to bring children into this world? See, pisa l'yeshua, because the next word in the pasuk was Yeshua. Have you anxiously waited for the salvation of Moshiach? And then we have Chachma, which is Pilpalto b'Chachma, that you analyze the Torah with wisdom. And then we have the last level, which we said was Das, and that's the level of Hevanta Dover Mitok Dover. Did you make analogies to derive conclusions? Afilu Hachi, says Rava. The end of the Pasuk says, Yiras Hashem Yotzaro in Ilolo. Even with all your levels of knowledge and so forth and so on, your judgment will not be favorable unless you are a God-fearing Jew. So the fear of God, Yiras Hashem, is the key. Mashal, the Gemara wants to give an analogy. Li Adam Shomer L'Shlucha, a man says to his proxy, Heli Li Kur Chitim La'Lia. Go ahead and buy me a kur that's a certain volume of solid food, and in this case of wheat, and bring it up to the adage, to the attic, to the aliyah. Halach ve'helalo, he brought it up. Amalo. So now the mishaleach says to the shliach, did you really fulfill your agency? Iravta behem kav chumton. So kav chumton is a certain volume of a chemical substance which preserves wheat. It's a kind of a salty substance. Amalo lav. He says, no, I didn't do that. I just brought up the wheat up to the attic. Amalo mutav imlo helisa. It would have been better that you didn't bring it up to begin with, because unless you put this preservative, then what's going to happen is the bugs are going to get to the wheat, and I wish you hadn't done so. So you should know you're not a good shliach. Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. And all this is symbolic of Yerushamayim. Yerushamayim is going to be that salty substance that preserves all your knowledge. Me'orev adam kavchutim bekor shel tvua v'enechoshesh. If let's say you order from the seller a kav of chumton, I'm sorry, you order from the seller a kur of tvua, and instead the seller, when he produces the order, when he gives you what you ordered, you find that this kur shel tvua is made up not of a full kur, but it's made of a kur minus a kav of chumton, and that the seller is allowed to do. Meaning, whenever you order something, included in that volume is a certain percentage of chumton, because otherwise, you know, it's worthless. Everything that you buy is gonna get ruined. Amar Rabba Bar Huna, kol adam sheyesh bo Torah. Anyone who has knowledge of Torah, the Einbo, here we turning to Lamed Aleph Amid Beis Yerushalayim, he doesn't have the fear of heaven, is Dome Legizbar Shalot Masrulo Maftechos Hapnimios Maftechos Achitzonios Lo Masrulo Bai Oil. Imagine that you give someone the keys to the inner chamber, but there's an outer chamber. He doesn't have the keys to the outer chamber. He has no access to the inner chamber. It's a waste of time. So if you don't have Yerushalayim, you think you have access to Torah wisdom, it's going to be lost. Machriz Rabbi Yanai made the following proclamation: Chaval al delesle darta, v'tera l'darta ovit. He says, woe to someone who doesn't own a courtyard, but he went ahead and he made a gate for a courtyard. Imagine you make a gate for a building or a courtyard and you don't even have a courtyard there. So what's the gate worth? And the same thing is true with wisdom. You know, if you don't have Yerushalayim, your wisdom is a waste of time. Omar Rabbi Yehuda lo barak kodesh baruch hu es olamo el kadeshi yiru milafanav. How important is the fear of God? This is the reason why God created the world. And I'll prove it to you based on a pasuk in Koheles, shenemar elokim asa, God created, sheyiru milafanav, so that people will stand in fear of God. Yesterday we had a discussion about standing in awe of the Rebbe who's teaching you Torah. Rav Simon, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yasvi, these two greats were sitting together, the Chalif, the Ozil, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, and they saw Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Acha, walking by. Amalechad Lechavre, one turned to his friend and says, Neku Makami, we should stand in front of him. Why? Digvar Dochil Chatoinu. He is a person who's afraid of sin. Amalei Idach, his friend says to him, Neku Mekame, you know why we should stand for him? To govern Bar Urianhu. He is a great Torah scholar. What about his knowledge? Amalei, so the first sage turned back to him and he says, Aminu Lecha Anah, Digvar Dechel Chatonhu. I told you that we should stand in front of him because he fears God and he fears sin. V'armet li, and you tell me, At Bar Urianhu, you're telling me about him that he's a Torah scholar? What is it worth if he's not fearful of God? Then, with all the respect to his knowledge of Torah, it's worthless. Now we don't know exactly who said what. So the Gemara said, "Tistayim." I'm going to prove to you that it's Rabbi Eliezer. He was the one who said that we should stand for Rav Acha, Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, because he is a gvar dechel chaton, he's fear of God. The Omer of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Lazar, we have a statement in the name of Rabbi Lazar, Ein Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olamo, Yir Shamay Bilvat. God has nothing in his world except the fear of heaven. Shenemar, because the Pasuk tells us, and this Pasuk is at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, it says, Vayomer Li Adam Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chachma. That what is the fear of God? That's wisdom. In other words, wisdom should be identified with the fear of God. Shekein, so notice that he starts this pasuk with the word hain. And the Gemara says that hain is a Greek word. Shekein v'loshin yivani currently achas hain. That the first number, the number one, is called in Greek hain. And this Gemara has to be understood in light of a Gemara in Masechet Megillah, that there are Greek words that come or that they evolve from the Hebrew language. And sometimes we can learn about the meaning of a word from its Greek counterpart. Now the number one here indicates a singular importance. So what's singular in importance is Yiras Hashem. Tistayim, now we know exactly who is the one who wanted to stand for his Yiras Hashem. Darash Rav Ula, my dichsiv. Now we're learning a pasuk in Koheles. Al Tirsha Arve, don't be too much of a Rasha. So the Gemara asks, what does that mean? Harbehu delo lirsh, you shouldn't be too much of a wicked person. Hama'at, a shtick, a little bit of a Russia that you could be. Ella, but rather the message here, this pasuk is very profound. Mishal chal shum, v'reifo nodev yachzav yochal shum. Gemara gives a mashal here. V'reicho nodev. A person ate something like garlic and now he has the smell. So what are you going to tell him? Eat another piece of garlic? And your smell will get even worse. In other words, when a person sins, sometimes he thinks, oh no, I sinned, and I'm a sinner, I might as well enjoy life and continue to sin. And the message here is a message of hope, that even if you fell, and even if you sinned, but be careful not to sin again. Darash Rava Bar Rav Ula. Okay, now the first drasha was Rav Ula. Now it's Rava Bar Ula, Rav Ula. My dechsiv, what does the pasuk mean? And here's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Ki ein chartzubos limosam ubari ulam. The English translation reads it the following: for there are no ties that bind them upon their death, and their strength is robust. In other words, a wicked person seems to die peacefully. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God declares, Lo dayin l'rishom she'enem charedim ve'atzvin, they don't get nervous, miyom ha'misa, they are not worried about the day of death, meaning they're aware of the day of death, but it doesn't get them nervous. They ignore it. Ela shalibam barilem ke'ulam, they have hearts that are absolutely strong, and they're continuing in their wicked ways, despite the fact that they know that they're going to die. You know, this is what you call cognitive dissonance. You know, you put it out of your mind. You know, let's go on as if it didn't exist. V'hainu d'yomar Rabba, and this also reflects what Rabba said, Ma'idichsiv, Zedarkom, Kesel Lomo, again a pasuk in Tehillim, referring to death, and this is their ways, it is their folly. The wicked are very much aware of the fact that they're going to die. Their destiny is death. But they have fat on top of their body, and that makes them blind, so to speak. They blind themselves. In other words, maybe we should say, all right, they forgot that they're going to die. You know, as if they're not guilty. They had a momentary forgetfulness. Talmud Lomer, no. The pasuk says, "Vachreim b'fiim yirtzu sela." Their destiny, their mouth speaks soothingly. Sela. In other words, they're very aware, very much aware of the fact that they're going to die, and they know that that something's going to await them after their death. But nevertheless, they speak with great complacency. They don't take it seriously, and they ignore the judgment that's going to happen after they die. Okay, then. Now, after all that agadata, we finally get to a really lundish piece of Gemara. I don't know if we can accomplish. You know, my goal would be to get to the Mishnah here, all of that in the next 15 minutes, but we'll try to do the best we can. And it's quite a profound sugya that has impacts on the entire Masechta Shabbos. Chas al Aner, the Mishnah had recorded a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. And we're talking about someone who violates Meleches Mechaber, but not necessarily for the right reason. When I say the right reason, what I mean is that every malach is defined by the Mishkan. What exactly was the purpose of that malach in the Mishkan? Here in our Mishnah, he is extinguishing the candle, but not for that reason. You know, he wants to save himself the receptacle or the wicks or the oil. And the Tanakhama says, nevertheless, you're chayef. And we'll see in a second why. And Rabbi Yossi says, well, in all the above cases, you're potter, with one exception, the case where he wants to preserve the wick. So the Gemara immediately asks, Rabbi Yossi keman sfirule. Now, we're going to try to figure out who Rabbi Yossi holds like in the machlokes regarding what's called the malacha shena tzricha legufa. Means a malacha that was done and motivated not for the same reason that it was done in the Mishkan. And Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as he was motivated for his own subjective reasons, he's chayev. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Rabbi Shimon says, you're not chayev because you didn't have in mind the purpose for which the malacha was done in the Mishkan. If Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, then a malacha shen tzrich leguf is chayev, zafilu b'hanach nami chayev. And the entire list in the Mishnah, that he puts it out for this reason, for that reason, he should be, Rabbi Yossi should be on the same scorecard as the Tanakhama, and he should be chayiv in all those cases, because Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't care about your motivation. Ikareb Shimon Svirale, if on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi belongs to the screen of Rabbi Shimon, which means Lokshen Tzichlugu Vizpater, is Psila Nami Liftar, even if he extinguishes the candle because he wants to save the wick, he doesn't want the wick to be totally consumed, he should be he should be potter in that case too. I mean, Rav Yossi says, I agree in one particular case where he wants to save the wick. What's unique about that case of saving the wick? And here we're going to have a major machlokas between Ula and Rav Yochanan. So round number one, Hakofa Aleph, is going to be Ula. Ula is going to identify Rav Yossi as accepting the Shita Rav Yehuda, which means Lachshen Tzich Lagufa Chayav, whereas Rav Yochanan is going to identify Rav Yossi as maintaining like Rabbi Shimon Lachshen Tzich Lagufa is Potter. So let's go through the two Shitas. Omar Ula Liolam, Rav Yossi holds Ki Rav Yehuda Svirle. He holds like Rav Yossi, but Rav Yossi, although he agrees with Rav Yehuda, and all we care about is the fact that you have a certain goal, it doesn't have to be the same purpose for which it was performed in the Mishkan. However, Kasav Rav Yossi, Sosar Almanas Livnos Bimkomo Avi Sosar, Almanas Livnos Shalovim Komo Lo Avi Sosar. Okay. Let's understand. There is a group of malachos amongst the 39 that are called maleches stira. Stira means to destroy something. So you have a building and you take it apart. And kibui, which means extinguishing, is another example of maleches sosa. We have other examples like, for example, korea with an ayin at the end, which means you rip something. What's common to all these malachos is that in and of themselves they are destructive. And we have a principle in Shabbos that makalkel is potter. You're only chayev for violating Shabbos with a constructive malach. However, what's common to all these malachos that fit into that group that we call maleches stira is that sometimes you do the destruction in order to prepare the groundwork for construction. So let's say you have a dilapidated house and it's about to fall apart. So you destroy it in order to rebuild a more solid structure. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not enough that you destroy the object or the house that we mentioned before, this dilapidated house here, and then you build another house there. You have to be, in order to be chayav for a maleches soser, you have to have the condition in your mind that you want to build on that exact place, so that the stira, the destruction, is now constructive, because in that place itself, you're going to build something. So you're clearing off the ground by removing this very shaky building, and now you're going to build a beautiful structure. But it's got to be bimkoma, in its place. Now, in a case where a person extinguishes a candle in order to save the oil, then we consider it as if when he rekindles the oil later on, that's a brand new ner that has nothing to do with the original candle. Every oil that burns is a brand new candle. But there's one part of a candle which defines its very essential identity, and that is the wick. When you rekindle the wick, that is the same ner that you started with. So if a person lights a candle and then he blows out the wick in order to rekindle the wick, this is like what my wife asks me to do on Erev Shabbos. I don't know if you have this minute. I light all the candles for her, and then I blow them out. Because what happens is that it makes it a lot easier for her to light it on the second round. Because once it's been lit, and then you blow it out, that's called pecham. It's much easier to rekindle it. So Rabbi Yossi says that there's only one possibility of extinguishing a ner, and it's considered soser almanas livnos bimkomo. In other words, you're going to recreate that same object but in an improved way, and that's the wick. Any other part of the ner, once you blow it out and you rekindle it, it's a brand new ner. But the essence of a ner is the wick, because the wick holds the flame. And if you're doing something to prepare that wick and you blow out the candle in order that this wick now is in a better situation to rekindle it, that's called Soser Almanas Livnos Bimkoma. Amale Rabba, Rabba says to Rav Ula, he says to Michti, let's analyze this. Kol Malachas Yalfinalu Mi Mishkan, all the Malachas are derived from Mishkan. V'hasam, in the Mishkan, it was Soser Almanas Livnos Shalovim Koma. What is the Malach of Soser of dismantling in the Mishkan? They took apart the Mishkan. Where did they reconstruct the Mishkan? In a different location. They went from one machne, one encampment, to the other. So how can you tell me that Malach of Soser is only Chayev if you intend to rebuild in that very spot when we derive the Malach of Soser from the Mishkan? Amalesa Ula replied, Shani Hassam, that case is different. Kevon dechsiv al pi Hashem yachnu, val pi Hashem yisou, is kisou shalmanas livnos bimkomo domi. The Mishkan remains the very same Mishkan, just that the Torah wants the Mishkan to accompany the people of Israel. So the Torah says, build the Mishkan here, and then switch your machne, and the Mishkan will be reassembled here. It's the same identical Mishkan. Because the precondition of the Mishkan is that it should always be built in the place where Hashem tells us to encamp. So God tells us to take apart the Mishkan because we're packing out, and we're going to another location, and there we're going to set up a second machne, and that's where we're going to rebuild the Mishkan. It's the same identical Mishkan. Ad kan akofa aleph, this is Ula. Now akofa beis. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Li Olam Ki Rabbi Shimon Svirle. Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon, which means that a malacha sheinitzricha legufa is potter. Umayshna psila. So why is it that in the case of psila, Rabbi Yossi says that he is chayav? Ki the Omar Rav Hamnuna v'itema Rav Adavarav, according to this tradition, Hacha b'psila shetzarch lahavas kinan, tebahi afilu Rav Shimon Modi dekomesakin mana. We're talking about a wick that is beneficial for the wick to, as we discussed before, to light it and then to put it out and then to rekindle it, and now it's in a better situation. You fixed up this mana means this utensil by rekindling it. And here we have a gigantic machlokas rishonim, exactly what Rabbi Yochanan had in mind. Did Rabbi Yochanan think that Rabbi Shimon holds that Yechayev, in this case Chos al Psila, from Aleches Mechabe, or was he chayev for a different malacha, which is called makeh bepatish? Whenever you fix up a utensil, then you're chayev for makeh bepatish. And all this depends upon the relationship between Rabbi Yochanan and Ula, who came before him. Did Rabbi Yochanan basically accept the principle of what we call the maleches soser? In which case, Rabbi Yochanan, if he accepted within the framework of Rabbi Yossi, maleches soser, then this is an example of maleches soser. And the reason why this maleches soser is still considered constructive, even though essentially it's destructive, is because it sets up the next stage and prepares you for a constructive stage. Or, alternatively, Rabbi Yochanan completely rejected this concept that if you have a Soser Almanas Livnos, Bimkomo, etc., etc., then Yechayev. And Rabbi Yochanan was looking for another option and a different candidate, Malacha, in explaining Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi would subsume extinguishing the wick under a different malacha, and that's the malacha of Makeh B'Patish. Amar Rava Dekanami, I want to support from the language of the Mishnah the approach of Rabbi Yochanan, Dekatani Shu Ose Pecham, Velo Katani Mipnesha Naseis Pecham. In other words, the language of the Mishnah would seem to indicate that the Mishnah really reflects the interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan, because when Rabbi Yossi explained why putting out the wick is considered a malacha, so the language he used was, Mipneshu Osa Pecham. And the language of Ose Pechem indicates what he's going to do in the future. Notice he's setting up a Pechem. A Pechem means a charcoal that he's going to use to burn and create a fire in the future. V'lo ketonim v'neishe nases Pechem, which would be in the language of the past tense. It already became a Pechem. Shma minah, the Gemara accepts Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation as the correct interpretation. We'll quickly read the next Mishnah, and Mirza Shem, tomorrow we'll study the next Mishnah. Al Sholosh Averos Noshim Mesos B'Shas Leidosam. There are three violations for which a woman, Nebuch, will die, Chas V'Shalom, in childbirth. Number one, Al She'enam Zehiros B'Nida, they're not careful about the Nida laws. Number two, B'Chala, the Hafrash of Chala. And three, Adlokas Aner, the lighting of the Shabbos candles. What's common about these three averos is that these are responsibilities that are specifically imposed upon the woman to set up a bias, to set up a family.